BFFT. From the PacWest West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I always like talking to people who have lived through it, who have seen some stuff, so to speak. Our next guest has seen some stuff. Carl Benson was the commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference. Previously, he was commissioner of the MAC, the Mid-American Conference. He also served as the WAC, Western Athletic Conference Commissioner. That's where I first came into contact with him. Former college baseball player, went to Boise State, also attended Spokane Falls Community College. Carl Benson can talk about it because he's lived through it. He's lived through some conference realignment. He is watching it now as a retiree who is seeing what the Pac-12 is doing, seeing what the Mountain West Conference is doing. Frankly, probably looking at a little bit of this with some of that wisdom that he gleaned over the years. And he joins us now, Carl Benson. Where are you today? Where are you, home? Where are you?
Good afternoon, John, and thanks for the kind words. Living in Denver, when I left the WAC in 2012, I moved to New Orleans as the commissioner of the Sun Belt, but I knew that I'd be coming back to Denver, which I did in the summer of 2019 when I ended my career. I don't like to use the word retired. I like to use the word, I guess, I'm the former commissioner of three different conferences, and I am proud to say that I'm still standing.
Still standing. What did you, like, you had to be watching realignment in recent years with some extra fascination. You leave the Sun Belt in 2019, so you're not out of it that long ago, and you're watching the Big 12 absorb some Pac-12 teams, and the Big 10 absorbing some Pac-12 teams, and Stanford and Cal going to the ACC, and Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 for the SEC. What'd you make of all that as it was going down?
Well, remembering that when I left the WAC in 2012, the WAC had given up on its football and dissolved football, and all the WAC schools merged into what the Mountain West is today. And remembering that those current Mountain West members, as they are comprised today, were all members of the WAC during my 18-year period as the commissioner of the WAC. So, you know, I've taken a special interest in watching what has occurred to the Mountain West, you know, since that 2012 departure. While I was at the Sun Belt, watched the ACC moves and the Nebraska to the Big Ten, which was a big factor in all the trickle down that occurred. But I'm not surprised at the movement that's occurred. Have to say that I'm surprised that the Pac-12 has gotten itself where it is today. But on the other hand, it's provided an opportunity for, at least at this juncture, Boise State and Utah State and Colorado State and Fresno State and San Diego State to have some upward mobility. But it's not done, as we know, John, and I think that the Mountain West is, as I did as the commissioner of the WAC, trying to stay alive. And I applaud Gloria for making the moves that she's made, not necessarily agreeing with all the various moves, but the fact that she's been proactive and has tried to rebuild the Mountain West. And Teresa, as the Pac-12 commissioner, I think that that's been a little bit more strategic, a little bit more cautious. I think the Gonzaga move was a great move, in the five Mountain West teams that the Pac-12 identified early on. I think everyone would have expected those five, and the one that everyone did expect was UNLV, and it didn't happen. And as you wrote today or yesterday, that's still kind of hanging out there in limbo. So that's a kind of a brief overview of my, nobody's called, Mountain West hasn't called me, Pac-12 hasn't called me to ask me my opinion on, whether to add X, Y, or Z. So I've watched it and read about it and listened to you and Wilner talk about it. So I, I am an interested bystander, but certainly don't have any inside information.
Let me ask you this. Did it surprise you that they didn't take UNLV, or is there a reason like you can think of why the Pac-12 didn't take UNLV in that first bite?
Shocked. I mean, that was that to me was the automatic that, and I may have been on your show with Wilner back in September when, you know, if I had to rank the five top the most valuable Mountain West schools, this would have been back in September, you know, it's Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State, and UNLV, that those five were, you know, were automatics. And, you know, then you could make an argument that Air Force brought national visibility. And you know, I love Utah State, and I appreciate what they've done, but I don't know if I would have necessarily had them in my top five or even top six, perhaps.
The Mountain West recently, last week, adds Northern Illinois as a football-only member. They take UC Davis in every other sport. Looks like they've created a little bit of a margin for themselves should they lose another school. But I can't for the life of me figure out the value of that. Like, UC Davis in Northern Illinois, that's not going to move the needle from a media rights standpoint. You've sat in that seat. How did you read that?
I was shocked as I read about it coming several months ago as a possibility. I shook my head at that time, saying I don't see what this does for either the Mountain West or likewise. What does it do for Northern Illinois? You know, they're on the kind of on the perimeter of the MAC geographically. They're on the far western side, and Buffalo's on the far eastern side, and the MAC has, you know, went from being a very compacted conference to one that had geography spread. So Northern Illinois, you know, probably saw this as an opportunity to take their other sports and put them in a more regionally based conference, the Ohio Valley or the Summit or the Missouri Valley, perhaps. But I see absolutely no value except to have another football team, you know, in their, you know, in their schedule. But I mean, when you think about the options that I had back in 2010 and 11, you know, it was Cal Davis, it was Montana, it was Montana State, you know, it was the Big Sky schools that you know that I tried to attract. And I'm somewhat surprised that, although I remember the commissioner of the Big Sky telling his membership, why would you go to the WAC at this time when the Big Sky is better? And wouldn't surprise me if the Big Sky Conference is saying that same thing to their membership as far as being allured into the, you know, into the FBS and the, you know, what's going to be the Mountain West. So
one of the things that's come up, and, you know, maybe I can get your brain on this a little bit, is the NCAA is saying, you know, the Pac-12, they gave them a 2-year grace period to get back to 8 all sports members. They're at 7 all sports members plus Gonzaga. So between now and July 1 of 2026, to be compliant, they've got to get one member. Is it possible they go to the NCAA and say, hey, we need more time, or that they try to challenge that? Or because the NCAA is sort of a membership, do they, you know, is it unlikely that the other NCAA members, the other conferences are going to be like, yeah, you go ahead and have however many teams you want? Like, how stringent is that in your mind, that July 1 date for the Pac-12 to add one more?
Yeah, I don't think that is the blockade, so to speak, John. I think that they can overcome that. I think more importantly is enough basketball playing schools that, you know, allow for a better conference season. I think we're seeing, whether it's the 16 or 18 team leagues that are going to 20 conference games, you know, an 8-team basketball league, you know, is playing 14 conference games unless you end up playing, you know, teams three times or something. So the model, in my opinion, just is not a good basketball model. And I think on the football side, you know, 7 football playing schools or even 8, and limits the number of conference games you have, and puts a premium on having to go out and create more conference games. And without even identifying any schools, if somebody asked me today, said, forget about the 18-team leagues or the 16-team league that I inherited with the WAC or 14 teams. What's a model right now that both the Mountain West and the Pac-12 could look at? It'd be, 9 football playing schools and 10 that play basketball that would give you an even basketball number. And on the football side, you play 8 conference games, 4 home, 4 away. And it's a good model. Without having to go into 12 or 14 or 16 teams. And I don't think that either of those conferences right now, is headed towards, more than 12. But the other thing that I think is important looking here is you put, side by side, you put the soon to be Pac-12 with the 7 football schools in Gonzaga. And you put the other, the Mountain West lost 5 and added 5. But when you look at their additions, and again, with all due respect, Northern Illinois, the Grand Canyon, Cal Davis, UTEP, New Mexico State, to think that conference is going to be able to be on par with the Pac-12. And I was at a time when, my goal with the WAC was to compete against the Mountain West, and I think we did a pretty good job of it, but I was left with a lot more, valuable both basketball and football playing schools, and made a couple of additions with Boise State and Nevada to let the WAC have a chance to compete against the Mountain West. But here we are 20 years later, the Mountain West is going to try to compete against the Pac-12, and I don't see that happening. I also believe that, that footprint geography, despite what's happened with the Big Ten, despite what's happened with the ACC or the Big 12, and I think that footprint and geography and rivalries is still important. And you can chase media markets, but we both know that chasing media markets doesn't always deliver media markets. And the 16-team WAC was a perfect example of Houston and Dallas and San Jose and, those markets, as being, in the Fresno, San Jose market, that didn't happen. So, are both of these conferences better off hunkering down and creating regionally based conferences, and especially the Pac-12? I grew up in the state of Washington. I grew up as a Pac-8 fan, as a Pac-10 fan, as a Pac-12 fan. I went to high school in Pullman. I watched teams come into Pullman, throughout my high school career. And what their basketball model was? They'd play in Seattle on Friday night or Saturday, and they'd come to Pullman and play on Monday night. UCLA and USC would travel together. And, I can see, whether it's a Pac-10 kind of reimagining itself and being that best in the West that they talk about, they're going to be the best in the West without going into the Central Time Zone. And so that's just my 2 cents in terms of where where I would go. And I mean, UNLV in Nevada, and I've talked about this before, John, that what makes sense. The state of Nevada is bigger than Idaho, and it's about the same size as Utah in terms of population, but they don't have any real competition except for now football coming in and probably basketball coming in, and baseball coming in. But I think that, my opinion, UNLV and Nevada would be perfect conditions for the Pac-12, the Pac-12, that would give them 10 schools, and they've got travel partners that are made up. Here's another little piece of this. They talk about the Mountain West, talk about the Pac-12 wanting to be a basketball, put an emphasis on basketball. Besides San Diego State and Gonzaga, the 2 schools that have had the most NCAA basketball appearances in the last 20 years are Nevada and Utah State. And so I mean, think that if they want to improve on the basketball side, Nevada brings more basketball, recent basketball history than some of the others. So again, you put a nickel in me and you're getting a dollar's worth.
Carl Benson is with us. He's served as the commissioner of the MAC, the Sun Belt, and the WAC 18 years at the Western Athletic Conference. Give us an idea, because these conference commissioners, whether it be George Kliavkoff or Gloria Navarez, or you know, even conference commissioners in the Big 12 that have lost teams, what is that like when you are under attack and another conference is poaching your teams or talking with your teams? How much can you trust? What moves can be made? What is it like to be in that position?
You know, it's a thankless job sometimes, but on the other hand, it's energizing because we're all, you know, we're in sports, which means that we're competitors. And, you know, when I was faced with rebuilding the WAC, it was done with a mindset that, you know, we're going to add schools and compete against, you know, the Mountain West that took the supposed valuable schools. And I went to the Sun Belt, and the Sun Belt lost five schools right off the bat. And, you know, we were able to rebuild the Sun Belt to a credible way. And so, I mean, I've had, I guess, of my 30 years as a commissioner, 25 of them have been, you know, part of a constant, you know, conference rebuild. And, you know, it can be a lonely job too, because even the schools that have been left behind, and, you know, going back to, you saw the, you know, with Fresno State, when they got left out of the original Mountain West, you know, they were camped out in Colorado Springs trying to, you know, buy their way into the Mountain West. And yet they're, you know, they're wearing whack patches on their uniform and they're winning games. And, but they're, you know, they didn't want to be in the whack. They wanted to be in the Mountain West. And that was the same for, you know, for Colorado State and Wyoming and New Mexico and all that. And, you know, then, you know, Boise State wanted to be in the Mountain West. And, you know, that was a hard one to, you know, to swallow in terms of my alma mater. I brought them into the WAC, and they flourished under the WAC, and they became, you know, a pretty valuable or a very valuable college football entity, as we saw again this year. So, you know, I look at it too, not just as a former, you know, commissioner of the WAC. You know, I look at it now today as, you know, what do I want for Boise State? And I think that what is potentially available to them, you know, is an opportunity to succeed, you know, in a very strong, you know, Pac-12 revisited, going back to, you know, the early days of the Pac-12 when it was a regionally based league that had states, and they competed, you know, the Washington, Oregon, California, and the additions of the Arizonas. Sound a lot different than what we're looking at here today. The only state that's missing, I guess, is the state of Nevada.
Yeah, and the glaring hole there. Carl Benson with us. Carl, I got time for one more. NCAA tournament, NCAA championships in general, Power Four, floating a proposal that would give them control of NCAA championships. This sounds like a bad idea to me. And, I think the NCAA tournament is fine. It's perfect how it is. The NCAA does a nice job. It's one of the few things they do really well, this tournament. What is the Power Four trying to do?
And again, this kind of goes back into my commissioner history. It was in the early 90s when those same conferences changed the whole NCAA governance to lean towards those four conferences, five at the time, having governance power. And they've changed it, you know, again with the autonomy. And I think this is just one.
Carl Benson there. Stephen, I think we dropped him there. We're trying to get him back. I'd love for him to finish that question. The idea that the Power Four conference in the NCAA tournament, of course, the Power Four trying to get more control. That, Stephen, how do you read that? The Power Four trying to get that? All right, so Steven's getting him back. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? We'll grab Carl Benson on the other side of the break, unless you've got him back immediately. If you get him back immediately, let's finish the question, just finish the interview. Because I would love to know if Carl Benson believes that the Power Four, what are they plotting? What are they up to as it pertains to the NCAA tournament? I think definitely there is a chance here that the Power Four, I think we got him back now. Okay, Carl, we lost you there. Go ahead.
I thought maybe Greg Sankey or Tony Petitti cut me off or something. So
no, but here's you were kind of talking about like, hey, they did this before. They established some governance on their own before. Now they want to expand that authority here to be the Power Four and take control of the NCAA championships. What are they trying to do?
Yeah, again, I said that I don't think they want to manage the day-to-day operations. I think they want to be able to determine the structure of the tournament's formats. And it's probably specifically basketball and women's basketball, as both those are the kind of the premier NCAA sports. So how many automatics? And, the tournament has been founded on conference champions, 32 conference champions. The SEC and the Big Ten, ACC, they've gotten their 9 and 10 teams in the NCAA tournament when they were 12 or 13 or 14 league teams. Now that they're 16, 18, maybe soon to be 20 team leagues, do they want 13 or 14? And does that mean expanding the tournament? Or does it mean eliminating some of the automatics or creating some type of early round games between the Big Sky and, the Big West to get their team into the bracket of 64, something like that. And baseball, the same thing. I mean, they want more teams in the high profile tournaments, the men's, women's basketball, baseball, softball. You probably say put volleyball into that group. Those five sports, they want more access, greater access to those tournaments.
And is that because these conferences have grown to be 16 and 18 team conferences, or is that they're trying to sell to their members?
Yeah, I think that's the they want to. They've always talked about what's the percentage of participation in an NCAA championship. The Pac, the Big Ten had 12 teams there for so long. They were getting 10 teams in. They were getting 90% of their membership in, and now that they're an 8-team league, they still want 90%. And again, it gets down to is the 14th best team in the Big Ten better than the champion of the Big Sky or the Big West? And, that's been an ongoing discussion point, in the NCAA committee, but the NCAA committee's been kind of hands have been tied in terms of, how many teams just out of the number of at-larges, those 32 automatics that are, as they say, they're automatic. There's no wiggle room. And we've seen it expand from 64 to 68. And that it sounds like my guess is that it's going to expand to some other number besides 68. And it's to accommodate, the Big Ten and the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12. It's not being done to accommodate the second place team out of the Big Sky or to give any of these other conferences, at large teams.
Carl Benson, I appreciate you, man. You have walked the walk. Thanks for joining us. We'll get you back on another time. Great insight.
You got it. Thanks, John.
All right. There he goes. Carl Benson, he's been the commissioner of three different conferences. Punch It Audio coming up. Lindsey Schnell talks college basketball in the 5 o'clock hour.